Blog Talk Radio.
Crossover Radio, tying the community together.
Just remember to turn the lights off in the hall. My brother from another pop. Minus one shot, we need no one. G money, man, we all we got. From the stoop to the big dude, stopping us from playing hoops. And us getting mad, throwing rocks off the roof. Straight thugging, man, I thought we would never progress. But look at us now, man, we young execs. My name, my big, my time, my high, my Gotti, we your body, all is right with the world. No matter how pretty she is, you never liking my girl. That's how we run, when you ain't around, I spank your son. Keep him in line, if you should die, I keep him like mine. God forbid, keep this in mind, my raised me crazy, product of my environment. Nothing can save me. Thanks for letting me bloom, for your wisdom, for your womb, for the roof over my head, for my shoes, for my bed. For the most important lesson in life was when you said, strive for what you believe in, set goals and you can achieve them. Thanks for the days you kept me breathing, when my asthma was bad and my chest was wheezing. Thanks for the look of love just as I was leaving. On nights you thought I wouldn't come back, that left you grieving. Thanks for holding down the household when times was bad. As a man, I apologize for my dad. When the rent was due, you would hustle like a pimp would do. That wasn't a life meant for you. You're a queen, you deserve the cream. Everything that gleams, everything that shines, everything that's mine. And your dad, don't look back if you fall and you feeling bad. I'm right there from your cut to when you peeling the scab. If it comes a time and you ain't feeling your real dad, put my face on this body. Don't wait for nobody, don't follow no, that's host man. Stand on your own too, do yo man. The world is yours. Some girls are nice, some girls are, don't listen to your crew, do what works for you. Standing back from situations gives you the perfect view. You see the snakes in the grass, then you wait on it. Bite your tongue for no one, and whatever is said, take it how they want. A closed mouth don't get fed. You know my number when it's cold red. If you wrong, my you're my nephew. We get it on, my lord.
Welcome to the stadium, brought to you by Crossover Radio. It's your host, Boss Cost, and I'm here with Penny Pittman. Penny, you in the house? All right, I guess my co-host, Penny Pittman, isn't here yet. We're expecting them shortly. Hey, listen, apologies to you all about last week's show. We ran into some unexpected technical difficulties. So we're going to pick up right where we left off. hope you all had a great weekend, an exciting weekend. I know we did here at Crossover Radio. Oh, man. Hey, if you guys have any questions for us, any topics you want to discuss, make sure you inbox us, hit us up. Also post them to our Facebook page, The Stadium. Or you can also hit us on Crossover Radio page as well. All right. Where's my man Penny at? Penny, where are you?
I got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is, when you going to China? Tell us about that.
Y'all some bullies here at Crossover Radio. I'm taking off to Taiwan tomorrow night. I got a red-eye flight. It's time to get this gold medal. I never had one of those yet, so I'm about to make that happen. I got a 1 a.m. flight.
Oh, I'm going to see if that's Penny. I see Penny driving in. See if that sound right there. Is that you, Penny? Hello? I guess not. That's not Penny.
Uh-oh.
So you're excited about that, huh?
I'm going to have to reprimand him. I'm going to have to put a little Penny across my knee. No, yeah, I'm very excited about it. You know, it's a great opportunity for me to, you know, like I said, not only, you know, get a gold medal, but it's also another opportunity for me to develop some healthy relationships, some more relationships over there in Asia, so that I can eventually start helping this next generation of ball players get contract opportunities over there.
Penny, if you're inside the building, push your number one so I know who you are. I got a couple of phone numbers up here that I can't, you know, I don't remember the correct number. So if you out there listening, Penny, push one so I know it's you. So tell me, look, so you going to China, is that for the Olympics or is it just a regular game?
Well, this is actually an Olympic qualifying event. It's called the William Jones Cup. So what it is, you know, national teams from several countries getting together to try to compete for a gold medal and also get into the Olympics.
Okay. So how does that work? You have to be the best standing team. That's how you get in?
Yeah, you got to be the best from your country, pretty much. And I'm the only professional, well, the only NBA-certified player that's on the team, the only player with NBA experience. The other guys that play internationally.
Okay, I see you.
So this is a good opportunity for them to get some more exposure as well.
Okay, is that you, Penny?
Yeah, that's me.
All right, I'm going to go ahead back in the queue.
Okay. Yeah, what's up, big fella? Go ahead, man. I was listening to what you were saying about the whole thing that you're doing overseas. I kind of wanted to hear that myself.
Yeah, well, the William Jones Cup is the biggest tournament in Asia. And, you know, like I said, it's the national teams from different countries getting together to play against each other. It's an Olympic qualifying event. You know, it's go for gold or go home. You know, and that's what we're going for. We're going for the gold. It's going to be an exciting experience. You know, I've been to China a lot over the last 10, 13 years, but you know, it's my first time going over to Taiwan. So, you know, I don't expect it to be much different, you know, because Asia is Asia, but they all have their own flavor of how they do things. But it's still gonna shape up to be a great experience for me and for the guys on the team as well, because we plan on winning that gold medal.
Yeah.
We gotta represent for the USA, man. Our first game is against Russia, and Russia's always tough. Russia, I believe, is actually favored to win it. So I like to go on there. Yeah, I like to go in there and punch them out on the first day and, you know, get them out the way, kind of set the tone and let them know that we're serious.
Any other notable players playing with you guys or any of the other teams that, you know, currently still playing in the league, anything like that?
We have Jermaine Barnes. He also he's the founder of the I believe it's the UBA down in it's a professional sports team out of Georgia, and you know, you can reach him at www.giehoops.net, ghoops.net, to get a little more input on what he's doing. But he started it from the bottom and built it up to be something pretty successful. And, you know, again, he's helping players realize their dreams of becoming professional basketball players and helping them get contracts overseas as well.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot for the community, you know, holding basketball camps and, you know, really doing a lot of great things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good, big fella, man. You know, we definitely going to be missed for the, you know, the definite 1 week that you'll be missing out with us. You know, like I told you earlier, man, I got you, man. I'm going to hold you down. But, and, you know, it's bad, man. We had trouble last week getting in, and once we got in, we didn't get that much time. And we didn't really get into it, man. I wanted to jump right back into the James Harrison subject, as far as him having his kids turn back into participation trophies. And for our callers out there, I want to hear from you guys about your perspective on that. To refresh you, last week, you know, I came across an article about James Harrison where he had his kids turn in their trophies because they were participation trophies. Basically, the standard trophy that you would get after the season of competition in any team sport. And his reasons was he felt that they should earn it. He felt they didn't earn those trophies. And he said he didn't want them receiving trophies until they actually earned them. And we talked for a minute on it, Keith, before we got cut off last week. And I just wanted to get right back into it. Now, like I said, from his experiences, you know, I can see him wanting them to work hard, being used to working hard, and not live off of maybe his name. And not just, you know, it's kind of like a dare to be different. That's the way I took it. More so as where, you know, he wanted them to be the ones to go the extra step, the ones to work harder, the ones to be first in and last out. And, you know, even going through your experiences, Keith, I mean, as you pass down to your kids, do you understand his message? And would you, I mean, can you understand where he's coming from with it?
Absolutely. You know, any athlete, and I know you can as well, you know, because you're an athlete. And, you know, we feel better about getting up there and earning it. You know, like you mentioned last week, we could be the guys who push the star, the player, the team to the limit, you know, and push him to reach his potential, you know, to make him get out there and perform at such a high level against the competition, you know, and that's our contribution, that's participating, you know, but to just be there and not do anything, you know, that kind of takes away from any sense of accomplishment on my part as a player, you know, because I want to actually get out there and get dirty too. You know, I want to get out there and sweat and look like I did something to feel a part of, you know, just as well as the guys who are out there playing, you know.
Yeah.
So he's instilling in them a work ethic and letting them know that, you know, don't just let anybody give anything to you, but get out there and actually earn it yourself.
Yeah. And you know what? Like I was saying when we talked about it personally, my thing about it was that the fact that if you participate, if you made the team, you know, coming up, that was an accomplishment that you made the team. That was your first. That was the first thing that you proved to yourself was that you can make the team.
Right.
You know, so I think that it's things like that. It was like we said, and it could be you might have been in practice pushing the best player or motivating the team. You know, you could have been the most athletic guy that pushed everybody in drills, skill drills, and exercises. But everybody plays a part in the team. Whether you was the guy that carried the luggage, you know, Bill Walton's one of my favorite commentators, and one of his favorite lines was how he wasn't worthy of Larry Bird, and he had to carry his luggage and so on and so forth. And that, you know, those things are things that you learn to embrace, even on that level. Wouldn't you agree?
And that's the level, that shows the level of respect that Bill Walton had for Larry Bird, because Bill Walton wasn't no slouch himself. He was an All-American. You know, he was a national champion himself when he came into the NBA. And that, you know, he realized the special talent that he was playing with. And he felt like that was the position that he needed to take by carrying Larry's luggage. Like it was honorable. But go ahead. Wait. Now go ahead and repeat your question one more time.
Oh, my question? My question was, excuse me, I said on this level, like I'm sure you are able to appreciate that as far as not being the guy. I mean, you played on the highest level, but you still wasn't the guy, but you made it. And I'm sure that you know that your contributions were worthy, no matter what they were, no matter whether they were points, scoring, defense, or even some things off the court. You could have been a big brother to another rookie.
Right,
so
right.
Everybody plays a part. That's my thing. And I said, you know, I was saying that I know you would appreciate that from that aspect. That's what I think that he shouldn't, you know, take away from them. A lot of times we want to push our kids to be the best at what they do, but we never train them or prepare them for being the other guy or for being a little bit, you know, for not reaching such a high level, you know, for falling short.
Yeah, and that's what he was doing. He's just trying to prepare them for the time that comes when they're not the man.
Yeah.
But
so,
if you know, get out there and earn yours. Put in that work. And maybe he saw that they weren't putting in the necessary work. Maybe that's why he felt like they didn't deserve it, like they needed to be returned.
And for the callers that we have, excuse me, Keith, for the callers that we have, I just want to reiterate James Harrison's accolades. He was a walk-on at Kent State. He went undrafted in 2002, ended up playing a year in Europe, and he was also cut by the Ravens before playing with the Steelers. So I definitely understand his position as far as how far he had to work. And it's definitely a good message to send to his kids and a good example. An example coming from home, that's what we need, is more examples within the house. So on that aspect, I understand fully, but it's just you shouldn't take that away from the kids. But like I said, I want to hear the callers' perspective on this, especially the parents out there that have kids participating in these sports. You know, football season coming up, Pop Warner, school's getting ready to start. The high school football is getting ready. Will be starting as soon as September rolls in. And basketball, everything's getting ready to start rolling. So I want to hear what the parents have to say about that. And the question that I have for you guys is, do you think that your kid should be satisfied with just the fact that he or she participated? But, you know, moving along, though, Keith, we were talking about Ty Lawson last week and him coming back from his rehab, his 30 days in rehab. You know, James Harden had done some interviews and said, said that Ty Lawson basically was focused, and he thinks that his problems were behind him. And you was giving us some insight, you know, about your troubles with those, you know, the same type of things. And we was adding up to what it could be. And like I said before, I think that's going to turn out to be good for them, man. I think that our Lawson's addition to the Rockets, I think it's going to show through to be a step up for them as well as a step up for him. And in a league where point guards are dominating right now, I think that he has a chance to make a statement for himself. You know, so if you want to go back over, keep, you know, the importance of him, you know, taking on that challenge, you know, not only the challenge on the court, but the challenge off the court to remain focused, as James Harden would say he is right now.
Right. A lot of guys get in trouble during the offseason because there's nothing to do, pretty much, you know, unless you're super dedicated or pick to one of those USA teams. You know, there's really nothing for you to do if you're not participating in a Barry Farms League or Drew League or the EBC Rucker League, you know, or the Seattle Pro-Am, things like that, the Chicago Pro-Am. There's really nothing for you to do. You know, that's how a lot of guys tend to get, you know, get unfocused, get off track, you know, because now what's there to do? Turn up with your boys. During the season, you have time to, but you really don't, because your focus is on, you know, staying sharp, staying in shape so that you can keep your job. You know, I hope that he's learned from his experience, you know, because I don't know how many more chances they're going to give him before they close the door on him. know, he's definitely going to be a great addition for the Houston Rockets. And if he's as focused as James Harden says he is, then they're going to do very well.
Yeah. Keith, man, I also wanted to, for the callers tonight, I definitely would, especially with you, you know, pulling out tomorrow night, I wanted you to, you know, just for a minute, if you could, speak to, you know, the opportunities throughout the Drew League. I've been following them for a nice while, and I see a lot of young players in there, you know, from different walks and different, you know, parts of the Met that's playing in that league and really doing well. And it's, and speak to the difference as opposed to the NBA. I mean, as far as the camaraderie and the competition and, you know, just the whole thing of the Drew League, man. I think it's a good thing, you know, that they got going for the ballers out there. And do you see it expanding? You know, I don't see too many things going on over on the East Coast. Do you see it expanding anytime soon?
Well, actually, what they're getting ready to do is have a game against Jamal Crawford, Seattle Pro-Am. They're going to take the Drew League All-Stars up there to Seattle to play the Seattle Pro-Am All-Stars, you know, to see who's the best of the West. Similar to what they did during the lockout with Barry Farms over in D.C. in the Drew League. You know, they went ahead and had two head-to-head games. I believe Barry Farms won the first game, and then they came out here to Los Angeles in the Drew League, won the second game. But as far as opportunities for these players, you know, there's a lot of talent that comes through there, not just the NBA guys who come back and play during the offseason, but you have college-level players who come as well, you know, because they want to play the best, you know. You want to play the best no matter where you're at. It's like driving around town. You know where the best talent is, and so that's where you're going to go. You know, you don't want to go and play against a bunch of scrubs who are sitting out there and traveling, double dribbling, not really understanding the game and just doing a bunch of talking. You want to go somewhere where people are going to push you. The benefit of that, playing somewhere like the Drew League, you know, you've got international level scouts that come through. You've got NBA assistant coaches that come through. You have NBA scouts that come through, you know. So it opens up a lot of opportunities for these young guys to get the exposure that they need and potential camp invites, you know, and it gives them the opportunity to realize and live their dream as a professional basketball player, whether it's here in the NBA or abroad in another country. It's a family-type atmosphere, too. And, you know, so it's fun basketball. You just get out there and you just do what you do.
But do you see it coming to the East Coast anytime soon?
They'll come back again. I'm sure they will, because you know, like I said, a couple of years ago during the lockout, they went out to D.C. and played against Barry Farms. The Barry Farms League. You know, they actually had two games against them, and they split them 1-1. You know, Barry Farms won out there on their home turf, and Drew League won out here on their home turf. You know, so hopefully they can continue to do something like that and, you know, and continue to challenge each other, you know, in all these different cities that have major pro-ams. Because it's a great opportunity as well for these different players in these different states to get to know each other. Because maybe you went to college with somebody from D.C. or from New York or from Newark, New Jersey, or from Philly, you know, and you don't get to see this dude, but you know he's putting in work in these pro-ams, and then you in another city and your pro-am putting in work. And you guys are talking about each other and talking to one another about, you know, what your respective programs are looking like and the talent that you got, and then coming to an agreement on putting the game together against each other, you know, to see whose city can outdo who, you know, who's got the best talent. You know, bragging rights, national bragging rights is what it is, you know. And it's a great opportunity, man, for that, like I said, opening up new relationships, fresh relationships with people across the country, all through the game of basketball. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And the Drew is not affiliated with the NBA in any source, is it?
No, not at all. The Drew League has been around since 1973. You know, and it's always been a community thing. And they've been fortunate enough that NBA caliber players have come through. Magic Johnson, Reggie Miller, Norm Nixon, Marcus Johnson, you know, the list will go on and on. LeBron James,
you know, for the younger guys, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, Steven Jackson, DeMar DeRozan, you know, the guys who are playing now, who are year by year, you know, fixtures, Baron Davis, DeMar DeRozan, you got Terrence Ross who comes through, KD who's coming through, you know, Nick Young, JaVale McGee, Jerome Jordan, you've got the Thompson brothers, Clay and Michael, you've got Seth Curry who comes through and plays on the team, you've got Ron Artest, Daniel Artest, you know, so you got players who are coming and representing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good thing, man. And like I said, I've only been paying attention to the Drew maybe the last year or two, and I never knew that it was going that long. And I, you know, I've seen a couple of interviews. I actually seen one that you did, and that's why I wanted you to, you know, kind of bring the light, especially the callers that listen from the East Coast. You know, you got some guys that travel around and still play ball, and people that still seek those opportunities. I see sometimes you've been posting opportunities for tryouts in other leagues, and a lot of people don't know about these things. And back to what we were saying earlier, a lot of people just shoot for the NBA or the best of the best,
right,
not knowing that there's still opportunities.
Absolutely. You know, there was, and like what you just mentioned, you know, me posting up an opportunity to try out for this Team USA, for the Jones Cup team, you know, and all they asked is for registration was $150, $175 to, you know, give guys from the Los Angeles area a chance to make the team and have the experience as well. And unfortunately, you know, maybe 11 guys showed up. And, you know, if it's something for free, guys will show up. Like, for instance, I did one a few months ago for the Hong Kong Basketball Association, and it was free. We had 30 guys show up, and we stopped and asked how many of the guys there had passports. Only 6 guys raised their hands. Here it is, an international, you know, this is a chance to play at an international level. And, you know, so many people came out, but they didn't have the necessary documentation in case they were picked up by a team. You know, they weren't ready. And so now this latest one last week comes about, and they're asking guys to make an investment, you know, into themselves, into their talent. And nobody was really willing to do that. So they just basically shot themselves in the foot. They basically robbed themselves at gunpoint by not participating, you know, because $150 isn't a lot of money. You know, especially if guys are going to spend $200 and $300 on a pair of shoes, if they're going to spend $200 or $300 on a bottle at the club, turning up, you know, why not instead turn up and make an investment in yourself and let that $150 turn into a $100,000 contract, a $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 contract somewhere, you know, where you can take care of your family and be financially comfortable in your life and possibly set yourself and your family up for generations just from one small investment into you. You know, so sometimes guys have their priorities mixed up, you know, and it was very disappointing to me because I have a lot of young guys who say, oh, gee, hook me up with something. You know, all I need is a shot. And the shot came. I gave them the shot and they dropped the ball. You know, they weren't ready. What do you do as a coach when you put in a guy and he's not ready? You sit his ass back on the bench until he is ready, until he, you know, he shows you that he's ready. You know, so now I got to bench a bunch of these guys out here, you know, because they're not ready yet. And there's only a chosen few that I can reach out to because I know that they're going to be ready. I know that they're going to be dedicated, and I know that they're going to take full advantage of the opportunities that come their way.
Yeah, man. You said a mouthful. For those out there listening, you know, any basketball players out there still have dreams of playing, getting the talents out there and listen to the show, you know, keep push the opportunities out there day after day, different league tryouts, interleagues, overseas and everything. And like I said, you know, one excuse can't be made in this situation is that you didn't know. Especially, like you said, when you're bringing this to people and basically laying it out for them and giving them the roadmap, you know, I know that people think, you know, of people have this facade and these pre-thoughts of how things are supposed to go. Nothing ever goes as planned, but everyone thinks maybe they should be being recruited or somebody should be paying them or beating down their door because of their talents. But, you know, it's talent all over the world. It's talent all over the world.
Exactly. And
those opportunities are one in a million. We did the numbers last season on the show of the eyes of a high school player, all the way from high school, from the top players, to make it even into the draft or become drafted. And went all the way as far as people actually making a roster is little to none. You know, Keith, it's right. About, what, 300 and something players in the league?
Exactly. Exactly. And the majority of them have guaranteed contracts. So you have maybe, you know, you have maybe 30 spots that open up every year, whether it's because a guy gets, you know, waived, released, and doesn't get picked up again, or somebody retires, or somebody is, you know, lost to injury. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the opportunities are there. It's just they're going to be scooped up real quick.
Yeah, definitely.
Guys really got to be on top of their game. It really, this is what, see, and this is the difference between AAU and, let's say, a kid like Tony Parker when he was 15 years old. You know, our 15-year-olds, they play AAU high school level basketball. You know, when you play internationally, when you're in another country, and if you're good enough, you can actually join a professional club at the age of 15 years old. You're playing against grown professionals, grown men, every day from the age of 15 until you retire. That's why when Tony Parker got here to the NBA, he was ready. That's why when Dirk Nowitzki got here to the NBA, he was ready. That's why when Yao Ming got here to the NBA, he was ready. You know, a lot of these international guys, they get that training early. They have the right people teaching them the fundamentals early. So they, you know, they become students of the game, just like our generation once was. You know, our generation, we're the last of a dying breed. These kids don't study the game anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why there's such a difference, a glaring discrepancy in the way the game is played today compared to how it was back in the day. You know, the advantage right now goes to these international kids because the AAU program, the way that it's being run is you're taking all the best and, you know, throwing them out on the court, on one team on the court, and just letting them play. You're not teaching them any kind of fundamentals. You're not sitting them down and showing them film, breaking down footwork, you know, breaking down defenses and, you know, the pick and roll, how to defend it and how to play it. You know, you're not breaking down different scenarios to these kids to educate them on how the game is played properly. You know, at a high level, at a high basketball IQ level, you know, that's why these kids in different countries, when they come to the NBA, they're on a different level. You know, they're ready. They're already ahead. We have a few cases where you have a Kevin Durant, you know, Kobe Bryant, even, you know, Tim Duncan, you know, LeBron James. You have some rare cases where these guys get the right teaching. That's why I love Rick Pitino, you know, because even though he understood that he was going to lose the majority of his recruiting class, he got them ready. He got them ready. They went to a program that was going to have them pro ready after 1 year. And he understood that, you know. And so he gets those kids in there and he teaches. And that's why he experienced his success year in and year out. Jim Boeheim at Syracuse did the same thing. Jim Calhoun, when he was at UConn, he did the same thing. Now they have Kevin Ollie in his place who's doing the same thing. You got teachers, but it's just not enough of them because the kids, they see the dollar sign and, you know, maybe the situation at home isn't what it, you know, what they like it to be, and the opportunity comes for them to change something or they think it can. And they throw themselves out there in the fire and they're not ready. We had a youngster out here by the name of D'Angelo Collins in the 2000s, early 2000s. And, you know, 6'10", small forward. He could shoot. He could dribble. He was athletic. He was a great player. You know, he didn't have the maturity level, you know, that was needed to become a professional, a successful professional. You know, he got invited to the pre-draft camp by Lenny Wilkins when he was in Toronto. And You know, he had some choice words for Lenny that Lenny wasn't feeling, and Lenny sent his ass home, you know, and it's been a struggle for this kid ever since then to find his place in professional sports. Life isn't what he thought it was because he failed to properly prepare himself based on believing the hype and not continuing to put in the necessary work to be successful at the next level.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's important. And when you say that, the reason that he messed himself up, which is basically, you know, one a young mistake that a lot of players make, especially once they get so far as making it to the pros, and you know, thinking that they're that they can't be taught, let's say.
Yeah, they know everything.
Yeah, and you know, it's a hindrance to the learning curve and everything like that. And that's where some standout players come, you know, taking the knowledge, listening, going through the bumps and bruises as they're supposed to. You know, so, you know, hopefully that kid gets together, you know, like you said, and, you know, that's just a bad
situation. Oh, it's too late for him. Yeah, it's too late for him. He's already in his 30s.
Yeah. Well, Keith, no, it's not too late, man. You in your 30s, man. You still playing. You still entertaining people, man. They, you know, from time to time, you're still trending on Twitter. You see the video I tagged you on the other day.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
Listen, Keith, that's just how it is, man. Some people never let it go, and that's one thing I like about you is that, you know, you're a baller for life. You're a baller for life.
Yeah. And that's why our motto is, you know, baller's life.
Yeah, as long as you can lease them up, man, you're going to do it, and I definitely respect that, too. And, you know, from one to another, it's motivation. It's definitely motivational, man. Definitely motivational. I love basketball. And, you know, I always will. It's my first love and my last love. So, you know, man, some people, you know, I don't think there's ever a time when it's over. Even when it's over, some of us, we still got to drag off the court.
Right. Absolutely. I hate getting subbed out the game.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I understand it's an opportunity for these younger guys to do their thing as well. So, you know, I sit there and pout for a second, you know, jokingly, though.
Yeah. But, so we're going to move it along, Keith, now. We're going to, you know, finish off strong. We got preseason going on. There's still a lot of key transactions as well as injuries. Two notable ones at wide receiver. The word just came down that Jordy Nelson is going to be out for the entire season this year. He's going to have reconstructive knee surgery. Did you hear about that? The game on the
track? Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and the Patriots, man, they signed Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, they're trying to make another statement. They're ready.
Yeah, you know what, Keith? I tell you, man, it comes as a shock. Only because of the timing, but I'm not surprised. You know, the Patriots and the Colts, their history goes past just winning and losing. They even swapped a player or two, but for Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, for the Patriots, I think this right here is bigger than what people think it's going to be.
Right.
You know, I mean, Reggie Wayne is, you know, he's on the downside of his career, but we know in a New England uniform, he's not going to be asked to be a number one guy, first of all, and he's not going to be asked to take so much of a load, an offensive load on his shoulders. So I think it's a perfect fit for him. I think that this is a good place to retire, and I think it's one of those moves that the Patriots, one of those small moves that the Patriots made that could possibly have them in contention. Because, you know, in that AFC East picture, I think the whole division is competitive. You know, I still see the Patriots as the front runner, but if Tom gets these four games, you know, I have to update myself on what's going on with that. But if Tom gets these four games, then this will prove to be big because it'll be something that he'll come back to. That'll be good. But that'll have something to do with their place in the division this year, I think. A lot of people think that even if he does the four games, he'll come back and go on a run and take the division. I don't really see that happening, but I do see this as a good move for them, you know. So,
he's getting himself ready with them right now during the preseason, you know. So that he's setting the table for for things to be comfortable for him. You know, getting to know his personnel, the new faces that are there, what each guy can do that he's going to be working with out there on the field. So, you know, and Tom's a professional, man, and playing a quarterback, that's a high IQ level position. You know, he's no slouch, and he's going to come back ready without a doubt. Then there may be a run mid-season of 3 or 4 games, but, you know, you never know. You can't. I'm just not willing to count New England out this year.
It definitely adds toughness to their receiving corps. It adds a threat, a bit of a threat, where you have to at least pay attention to, even if you're not going to, you know, throw an extra man to Reggie Wayne, because, like I said, he's on a downslope. It's the actual threat that he gives along with Tom Brady. And like I said, I like the toughness. So his character, that's why I said his character is a definite fit for the Patriots. You know, low-key guy, toughness, works hard, gets in there, does his job, and goes home and on to the next one. So I like that. As far as the Packers, I think they're in trouble. I think now Aaron Rodgers played it a little bit too full. And as great as he is currently, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, I would say maybe top two. He may be one, maybe the best quarterback in the league to some, but his plate is a little too full. I don't think he can pull it off. I think that before the situation was no defense and him just taking his offense and, you know, carrying them as far as they go. But now the offense is lacking a little too much, and I think they're in trouble. Which is another inclination that the Seahawks have a roadmap to the NFC Championship, at least. Definitely a division title.
You never know who's going to step up, man. Who's going to step up to the plate and be ready? There's always that one guy, you know, who takes everybody by surprise. You never thought that he'd be able to, you know, to do the things that he's doing. And I see somebody stepping up like that. I can't tell you who right now, but somebody in that core is going to step up in a real way and bail them out.
We have Sean from Rochester. He wanted to ask us about a basketball game in Rochester, New York, where he said three boys were killed. I'm trying to pull that up right now. I actually didn't hear about that. But, Keith, did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear anything of it. This is the first for me.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have violence, at, you know, around things like this sporting event or anything with kids involved, and I'm seeing the person up here that asked us, they said that three people were actually killed. And it's definitely tragic to me. No doubt, tragic. But no, I didn't hear about that, Keith. Like I said, I'm pulling that up right now. If we have the caller listening, I would be delighted if he would press one and give us a little insight before I get into this. I'm trying to pull it up right now.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing.
Keith, like I said, man, as far as that thing with the Packers. When you look down the NFC, the entire NFC, even outside of the Seahawks division, you lose the threat. And to me, we come into a point in the NFC where I look at the Cowboys as the only threat to the Seahawks, and I still don't think that the Cowboys are ready to compete with them. You know, I know we might get a little flack for saying this, but San Francisco is long gone as far as playoffs and Super Bowl is concerned. But in the Cardinals, you know, the Cardinals will compete as well as a few other teams, but the only team that stands in the way of the Seahawks now are the Cowboys. Okay, I have this story right now where three people dead and seven people shot. The basketball game at a Boys and Girls Club, actually. This was Wednesday night.
somebody had fired shots from a car into the crowd, what I'm seeing up here. And already from what it's looking like, it looks like the police are basically foolish as to what happened. To speak on that, there's no place for that anymore, let me say that. And it doesn't have any, and when you're talking about kids getting killed, and people just driving, doing drive-by shootings and everything, there's no place in our neighborhoods for that anymore. You know, and I'm going to take this a little bit away from, like I said, the game and the incident that happened. When there are kids around, I believe that they should be protected.
Absolutely. Including
anybody that pulls up and shoots in the crowd at a basketball game, where people are cheering on their peers, family members, friends, and so on and so forth, trying to stay out of trouble, trying to make something of themselves. I don't think any sane mind would want to hurt anybody in the vicinity of an event like that.
Especially where there are children present.
You know, Keith, you're out on the West Coast, and it's not it's not one place or another, but for me to be here in Newark, you know, we experience a lot of that, of kids getting killed, and just people in general. And it's sickening, man. It's sickening. And, I really just want to say that I hope it stops. You know, I have 5 boys. Keith, you know, I know you have kids. I'm not sure the breakdown of boys and girls. We all have kids, and we're supposed to get better every generation. It's supposed to be about them. Why would we ever want to hurt our children, our babies? You know, we do what we do for them. Keep, we're doing this radio show, and we always talk about trying to help the youth, trying to enlighten the youth. Why would anybody want to do anything other than that? And so like I said, my prayers and thoughts go out to the families of those 3 kids that were killed, as well as the 7 people in total that were shot or hurt in any ways. And I just would like to say that we need to stop this. We need to bring an end to this. We got the Million Man March coming up this October, which I think is a great thing. You know, I was in attendance at the first one in 1995. And I think we need more things like that. I think that's the type of empowerment that we need, is more positive thoughts, more inspirational speaking, more speaking out. We need to help these. We need to teach them. We need to show them the way.
How was that experience?
You know, I'll let you have it, man. But like I said, you know, I have many thoughts about that. I can go on all day about it.
Well, but how was that experience for you to be a part of that?
For me to be a part of what?
The Million Man March.
Oh, man. You know what, Keith? To be honest with you, I didn't even know what I was getting into. And what I mean by that is, I was aware of the Brother Minister Farrakhan in high school. I used to watch him on one of the local channels that we had on Cablevision. And I always thought that, you know, he always sent a good message. He always, you know, spoke good things. And so when I knew what type of person I was going to see, but the event in its own, to see so many people, to see so many brothers, to see so many black men, and there were women too, you know, even though it was the mass was men, yes, we did have a million, even more than a million. Just to see that, there was no violence, you know, there was no arguing, there was nothing but people congregated in one place to hear messages. And, you know, there was more speakers than just Farrakhan, there were other speakers. And the people got out there, they spoke. And everybody, and I felt like when I left there, I felt better. I just felt better about being there. You know, like I said, I was the first in high school, the first March. And
you're breaking up a little bit.
I didn't hear you. I was saying I wasn't aware of the movement back then like I am now. So that's what I mean by I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But like I said, I left was definitely with a different feeling. Just to see that was a difference for me, just to see that many people of my kind get together with no violence, with, you know, no nothing bad happen and only good, and to get a good message. And like I said, just to be around and interact with the people, you know, it was a great feeling. And I look forward to going again this year, God willing.
That's what's up, man. I never had that experience before. So, I have spoken to several people who said the same thing that you did, you know, friends of mine who have been there. Yeah. And that's something, you know, there's no place for violence, you know, especially with when there's an event for these children. You know, how are we supposed to protect these kids if they're not even safe at a park? You know, how can we protect them? You know what I mean? And what's it going to take for us to value one another's lives? You know, we can sit back and cry about police brutality and, you know, look, police brutality has been a part of our history for generations, and we've risen above it so many times, you know, to the point where we've got a black man in the White House right now, you know, and we can't continue to use these situations as an excuse not to do better. You know, and it's us right now who are out there going around killing each other and hurting each other, you know. So when are we gonna start valuing our own lives? You know, we can cry out the injustice all we want, but we're really the ones perpetrating the biggest injustice on our own selves. You know, and that's a terrible thing. What are we showing, you know? So how is my 14-year-old cousin supposed to know that there's actually value to his life if the 15-year-old or the 13-year-old next door doesn't feel as though there is and is willing to, you know, take his life over something foolish? You know, it's up to guys like you and I to you know, and the fathers who you know, not just the fathers who are in the home, but the fathers who aren't in the home. It's all of our responsibility as men, not just black men, but men, period, you know, to set the example and show these young men, you know, how to value their lives, you know, how to take value in themselves. You know, that stuff right there starts in the home. This behavior that's being perpetrated out here in these streets is something that's taught, you know. This is a learned behavior, and it's not the right behavior. You know, we're only hurting ourselves. You know, we're further separating ourselves from the rest of society.
Yeah. Keith, we had a caller, a single mom from Philly, who wanted to know how she could help her 15-year-old teen become a better basketball player.
You want this one, or you want me to get it?
Listen, they want to hear it from the pros, man. I guess he's trying to take them to the top.
Well, I mean, the first thing that this young man needs to do is he really needs to be sure that this is something that this is a profession that he really wants to be a part of. You know, it's not easy, and you know the road to becoming a professional basketball player is a hard one. Because there's so many people, so many talented young men out there across this country, like Penny and I were discussing at the top of the hour. You know, the chances, the percentages, you know, he may not make it to the NBA, but he doesn't have to because, you know, basketball never sleeps and it's a worldwide game. So he really has to be dedicated and put in the proper amount of training and then get the proper amount of rest as well. And nutrition is something that's big as well, you know, watching what he puts in his body because, you know, your body is a temple. Your body is your office. Your body is your business as a professional athlete. And if, you know, and if business is good, then you're going to get a good return, you know, from your product. So he's just got to put in work and stay dedicated.
Yeah.
The most important thing, if his grades, if his academics aren't even up to par, tell him don't even worry about it. He don't even have to worry about being a professional basketball player because he's not even going to be able to make his high school team. You got to have your grades on point before you can worry about joining any kind of team at a young age. So that's the most important thing right now, is making sure that his education, you know, is up to par.
Yeah, and I think along with the on court practice, I think that's one thing that parents need to be mindful of. Sometimes a parent will just make sure that one thing is going well and forget about the other parts of it. When you're trying to teach your child to become what we will call, let's say, other than, you have to teach him the things that come with it. A lot of times you want your kid to be a big time athlete, even if it's a movie star, a rapper or something, but you have to teach them how to live that life. Even if you don't know, you have to educate yourself to be able to educate them with the etiquette and how to deal with things that come along with it. But
right.
As far as, you know, if I had to say to teach him how to become a better basketball player, I'm not sure whatever he's at in his game right now, but I would say that at this age, at this point in his game, he needs to practice on everything. He needs to not play a position. When he practices, he needs to practice everything. He needs to practice his post moves, everything, if he's a big guy already. But still, he would need to practice his dribbling, his shooting, and everything else, all of his attributes. He would need to go down the line and put some type of practice in on all of them. I would think that the biggest mistake a lot of kids do is not practice enough on their actual game, their fundamentals. You can't just play AAU and a bunch of summer leagues and basketball in open gym and think that you're going to get better. You have to practice specifically on your game. You know, I used to practice like shots, 360 layups and reverse layups and things like that, and certain moves. And then you will further yourself by, you know, kids are better and more, and the game is more advanced. So to make yourself a little better, you need to work on your IQ. Learn game situations. Learn different, you know, sometimes you teach, have your son, especially for the fathers out there, teach them a little bit of the coaching aspect. As you're coaching them, teach them a little bit of the aspect. We know what we went through. You know, teach them pressure situations.
Right.
Teach them how to utilize certain parts of their games. Hell, teach them how to use their IQ early before their body breaks down.
Right.
You know, so that's what I would say. Yeah. You know, to teach them the whole game at this age. You know, you might have a kid that's 6'1 in the sixth grade, and he might never grow another inch. So he might think he's a center or a power forward and never work on his game, and it only takes him to his freshman year in high school where the guards are 6'1.
You're right.
So, you know, hopefully, we give you some insight with it. What Keith said first, it's definite the education. It goes more than just being smart and getting A's and B's, but educating yourself, knowledge, you know, knowing how to be a person, learn how to live. You know, basketball is a way of life, but it's a way of life only because it reflects other things about you. If you're smart, they'll find out. If you don't have an education, they'll find out. So, you know, that's, you know, like I said, work on your whole game, though, the entire game, shooting, dribbling, passing.
Footwork.
Watch the players. It's that footwork. You know, I used to watch tape games and watch them over and over and over and try to mimic what I saw, even college games, even some high-level high school games when I was in high school. I would at least watch them and see what they were doing. You got to, you know, you, like I said, and with the game being the way it is now, some of us guys that's used to the older game will have to adjust to that in teaching these kids. So, you know, it's a lot to it, but it can be fun at the same time, just like with anything else, if you can get the kid on the right track. So,
you're right.
I got a minute left, Keith, man. Like I said, it's our last minute for a while. You'll be going overseas, man. I want to wish you good luck. I said that I'll be rooting for you. Hopefully we can stay in touch. You know, I know international is not as easy as with you over here on the West Coast. So, like I said, I'm rooting for you. And I want you to give out your information, man, so they can hit you online while you're out there.
Yeah, you can reach me on Facebook, Keith Boss Claus, or on the Stadium page on Facebook, Crossover Radio, the Stadium. You can also reach me on Twitter, @BossClaus33. If you got any other questions, you can email me, TheRealBoss33@gmail.com. I'm also on Instagram, TheRealBoss33.
man. I'm looking forward to this. Hey, you and JR, man, y'all rock this thing while I'm gone, man. You know, y'all hold it.
Yeah, you know we're going to hold you down, big fella. And you know what I'm saying? Hopefully he's available for it. And however we got to do it, man, we definitely going to hold you down, man. And we're going to sign off right now. And Keith.
We out.
The most amazing feeling I feel. Words can't describe what the feeling is real. Baby, I paint the sky blue. My greatest creation was you. You. Glory.